setting the pace on the pursuit of happiness. This is The Ken Coleman Show, where you discover what you were born to do and how to make it happen. Now, helping you get unstuck and on the path to your dream job, America's career coach, Ken Coleman.
All right, here we go. Coming to you live from Ramsey Solutions Studios in Nashville. You've joined a conversation about you, specifically who you are, what you were created to do, where you want to do it, and how you can get there. Is it possible to make the income you need and the impact you want? The answer is absolutely yes. You were created to fill a unique role. You were needed. You must do it. And when you figure out what that is and you do it, you will find that the success and the satisfaction come with that significant contribution. You'll make enough. You will achieve enough, because it's not about comparing to anybody else's paycheck or anybody else's contribution. It's about your contribution. You were created to fill a unique role. You are needed. You must do it. It's about your contribution. We believe that work is not a job that helps you live. We believe that work is a contribution that you were created to make. So no matter where you are on the journey, we can help. You want to get promoted faster? Come on. You want to figure out what that job is, what those multiple career options are? Come on. If you're clear on both of those, you know how to do it, but you're just stuck because of finances, you're stuck because of relationships, maybe some emotional, mental stuff, that's okay too. 844-747-2577. One phone call away from clarity, confidence, and courage. 844-747-2577. Well, I want to start today with a challenge, a three-part challenge for those of you who want to move up the ladder. Right now, you're frustrated, or you are hopeful in that you are looking for a better future now. I want to move up the ladder, kid. I definitely want to climb. I want to move up the ladder. But for whatever reason, you haven't. And I think you could boil it down to the reason you aren't moving up the ladder is because you're not actually climbing. Some of you are going, duh. No, but I really think that's the majority of people who feel like they aren't climbing, they aren't moving up. It's because they're actually not climbing. I think they're in a position of waiting. And there are times in life where we got to wait, okay? I get that. But I'm still doing while I'm waiting. I'm doing what I must do while I'm waiting. I'm becoming who I must become while I'm waiting. You don't just sit around and wait. And that's what I'm addressing. So three things to do to actually begin climbing. Because obviously we have to have somebody that says, all right, I see you. We want you there. But what do we do to become seen? What do we do to become the option? Three things. Number one, get connected. This is actually stage three of my seven stages. It's all about connections, connections, connections. Opportunities come as a result of connections. So I want to refresh this. Just remind you that the third stage of my seven stages, get clear stage one, get qualified to stage two, get connected to stage three. Because getting connected is where all opportunities materialize. A conversation, a coffee. Showing up day in and day out. And somebody goes, hey, I notice you. I see you. What are you doing here? Why are you here? What do you want to do? Getting connected. Connections are the keys to opening up the future that we want. So get connected. So you may be in the office right now. Ken, I want to move up the ladder in the office. Great. Start connecting with people you haven't connected with before. Start connecting with people you've only connected with once or twice. Get connected. Relationships, conversations, intentionality. And I don't mean of the vampire sort where people see you coming and the only reason they know you're coming is because they literally see the blood dripping from your mouth because the last person you just sucked out of the information just because it's all about you. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about learning from, getting advice from, walking around with a pencil and a pad and asking questions. That's how you get connected. And that's how you get opportunities. Is by being willing to sit down and ask questions and learn. Number two, get better. As a result of all these connections, you're going to have opportunities to learn things that you didn't know, do things you didn't or that you haven't done. Education and experience, knowledge, opportunity. So if you're getting connected, let me tell you something. Opportunities will come to you to get better. So you got to get better. Take the opportunities. A lot of people will do this first thing. They'll get connected and then opportunities come and they go, oh, I don't think I'm ready. Fear, doubt. Get on our shoulders and they tell us, can't do this. You're not ready. You're not good enough. It's not enough to get connected. You must get better. Take those opportunities to get better. And as you're getting better, and as you begin to check off the list, it'll lead to the third thing that will allow you to begin to truly climb the ladder, and that is get busy. Listen, you're getting the connections. You have opportunities to learn, opportunities to do. That's the get better. And then once you acquire that experience, acquire that knowledge, you better get busy with it. You better be about the business of making yourself invaluable, indispensable, because in doing so, that's how you get opportunities to step on the next rung and then the next rung and the next rung. But I'm telling you, and I'm not telling you to beat up on you. I'm telling you to get in your head. I'm telling you to hopefully I get a little bit in your heart and I kick you in the butt and you get after it. Because some of you out there are going, I want to move up the ladder. I see the ladder, but I'm waiting on somebody to go, it's okay to climb the ladder. Or I'm waiting for somebody to go, here, can I give you a hand up? Can I put your foot on the first rung of the ladder? That's what you're waiting on. And it's my experience that that doesn't happen. It happens when you go to the playground with your mom and dad when you're a toddler. Okay, that happens. Come here. Do you want to climb the ladder? Come here, sweet thing. Okay, be careful. Put this foot right here. Okay, then grab this right here. Listen, those days are over. You want to climb the ladder? Guess what? You better get up to that ladder. You better grab it with one hand and grab it with the other. I mean death grip, baby. And get that foot on there and step confidently and push off and step. You know, when you climb a ladder, you got to put one foot on one rung, right? And then you grab the ladder with both hands. Let's do that. Boy, this is good. I didn't plan to say this. This will preach right here. You put one foot on there, and then you grab with the other. So we've got ourselves a firm grip. I'm committed. See, that's commitment. And so now that I've got one foot on one rung, and I got both hands, I'm committed. I'm climbing, baby. I'm steady. I'm stable. I'm committed. What do we do next? We take that foot that's on that rung, that bottom rung, and we push off, and we push into it, and we lift ourselves, and that other foot comes up as the first step. That's it. So many of you out there right now, you aren't climbing. You're kind of at the bottom of the ladder. Does anybody see me? Anybody notice me over here? I want to climb this ladder. Is anybody going to put me on the ladder? Anybody going to put their hand on my bottom and give me a push up? Nobody does that. Nobody. You got to start climbing. Three ways to do it. Get connected, get better, and get busy. And before you know it, you'll find yourself climbing and reaching the next rung, and then the next rung, and the next rung. But you better start climbing. Stop waiting. Don't move. Your call's coming up next. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Welcome back to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you discover what you were born to do and then come up with a plan to make that dream a reality. 844-747-2577 is the phone number, 844-747-2577. Quick reminder, still have a few remaining coaching sessions open for you. We're doing a group of three sessions, 1 hour each, with me. And normally that's a $4,800 value. We've discounted it to $2,400 because we're developing a product and a opportunity that's going to be helping so many people from a coaching standpoint. And so we video, we let you have the video of it as well. So you can go back and continue to learn some from the session. Again, it's $2,400, three sessions, $2,400, kencoleman.com/coaching, kencoleman.com/coaching. You can book your first session there. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Daniel in Phoenix, Arizona. Daniel, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Good morning.
How are you? How can I help?
I'm doing well. I applied for a position. I work in a municipality that I've applied for before, and I didn't get the job last time. I was asked the question, what is your plan for the next 5 years? And I know going into this position that it is not my plan to stay in this position for the next 5 years, since it is a transitional pay increase type of role. And I want to know how to honestly answer that question, but not have it be in a negative light for the manager to not give me the job.
Do you think it is a professional question only as it pertains to them, or do you think that it's a general interview question where they're trying to get to know a little something about you?
It is a professional question that they're asking.
Hmm. Have they already asked it, or you just know it's coming?
They asked it in the second interview the last time I applied for the position, and it opened up again.
Okay, so how did you answer it the first time?
I answered honestly that I would want to be going into the IT department, not the department that I was going into, working with data science or continuous improvement, helping the leadership teams make improvements, more where I want to be in my sweet spot rather than in the level that this position's at.
Okay, so you think that was a negative? Because that's why, I'm guessing that's why you're calling me. You're going, okay, I want to honestly answer the question, but the way I answered it last time basically says I don't want to be in this position or this department that you're looking at me for.
Correct, yeah. They took it as a negative.
Yeah. Well, we got ourselves a challenge here. Because you want to be honest, and I appreciate that you want to be honest. But the reality is they're looking at going, well, you don't want to be in our department, so... And I wonder if it was, in fact, a negative. Did you get feedback that was a negative, or you're just thinking that it is?
I did get a follow-up from the hiring manager that it was one of the things they did not like about my interview performance.
Okay, one of the things. So that means sounds like there's several things.
The other thing was that I just wasn't completely qualified for absolutely every aspect of it. A lot of it was, what's the term for it? I have qualifications that kind of match it, but it's not exactly. Okay. I don't have
all right. What is
the exact accounting?
Okay, so my question is, why are we interviewing for this job again when your answer to where do you want to be in 5 years hasn't changed? And that was a negative. And they remember that. So, and you're not completely qualified. So why are we applying for a position that A, we're not completely qualified for, and B, it's not where we want to be, and we had to say that last time, and it was a negative. I don't understand why we're doing this again. Am I missing something?
All right. So the reason I'm applying for this job is we have a baby on the way, and my income is just barely over what we need to be making to make ends meet.
Okay, but I get that. But brother, you're not qualified for it still, right?
I am qualified for it. It's just I don't have all the I'm currently in a technician administrative role.
All right, so hold on. Let me ask it a different way. You said that in your interview last time, they said that you didn't have all of the complete qualifications. Have you addressed those deficiencies? No.
In a way, no.
Okay. Brother, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying so hard. I don't think this is a good move, brother. I'm trying to help you see it. I'd like for you to get to the conclusion quicker than you are. In a way, no. No, so you didn't. So we're going to go back to the well again. We've already struck out once before. They told us why we struck out. We didn't do anything to change the strikeout, and we're going to do it again and just hope that the stars align. It's not a good strategy, Daniel. It's not going to work. So I'd rather you spend your energy on getting a job. And I understand your why. I do. I get it. You want to provide for your wife and child. I get it. But you better go somewhere else. the odds are stacked against you. And you've done nothing to address the feedback they gave you last time. I can't give you an answer for where you want to be in 5 years that is honest, because it's not. There is no answer. You could be so we're going to strike out there, and then we get this other qualification thing. It's not complete, and you haven't done anything about that. So go for something that you have a shot at getting.
I see.
It's like that me going sense. Out. Yeah. Okay. Here's the deal, bro. Listen, basketball is my favorite sport. All right. Always has been my favorite sport, but I'm 5'9" and I can't jump over paper. All right. I don't have any ability to jump. I had okay quicks. I could shoot the ball, all the things, but I couldn't jump, and I'm 5'9". So if you're short and you can't jump, you don't have much of a future in basketball. Would you agree with that statement?
I completely agree with that statement.
Okay. But if I continue to try to be a basketball player, or I go out today and I go, I'm going to finally dunk the ball at the age of 46. I've never been able to dunk the ball. Wouldn't you tell me to probably not waste my time doing that? Wouldn't you think that'd be futile? Is that the advice you might give me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, would you please stop trying to dunk the basketball, because you're never going to dunk the basketball? This position for you is not a reality, and you need to move on from it. And let's go get something that we have the talent for, and we've got the qualifications for, and it fits in alignment with where we're going. Otherwise, we are literally putting ourselves out there for continual frustration and rejection, which piled on us enough can be devastating to our futures. And there's no reason. There's a reason why, folks, I teach. And listen, Daniel, I appreciate the call, but let me give you a little locker room. Since I brought us into basketball, let's go to the locker room. Here's the talk you need. You got to play the role that you're supposed to play on the team. Everybody on the basketball team or football team or baseball team, whatever it is, has to play a role. They can't all be the star. There's one cleanup hitter in baseball. There's a shooter on the basketball. There's a defensive player on the basketball team. Everybody's got a role. Everybody's got to play their role. And so that's why I talk about talent. What are you good at? See, talent are hard skills and soft skills. Are what we use as tools, as weapons, as resources, whatever analogy you want to use there, to actually do good work. Absent of talent, there can't be good work. Absent of good work, there can't be good contribution. So the reason I teach talent, passion, and mission, talent's what you do best. Passion's work you love. So you find that talent and you go, okay, how can I use this talent to do something that I love? Okay. So we put that combo together. I use what I do best to do what I love. Oh, okay, that's good. Now I'm looking for the contribution from the work that I get most excited about. I use what I do best, talent, to do work I love, passion, to produce results that matter to me, mission. Talent, passion, mission. They must all three be in alignment to get progress. Don't miss out on that. Don't apply for jobs you don't have the talent for or the experience. It's a waste of time. This is the Ken Coleman Show. The Ken Coleman Show continues from our Ramsey Solutions studios in Nashville. So thrilled to have you with us. 844-747-2577. 844-747-2577. I told you I'm with Ramsey Solutions, and our Ramsey Relocation Guide could be a great free resource for some of you who are moving because of a job, or you're considering moving with a job and you're like, I don't know. There's a lot of unknowns there. And let me tell you something, that's legit. The idea of leaving your comfort zone to move somewhere where you don't know a lot of people, especially if you got kids, you're thinking about schools, you're thinking about comparative pricing or houses, the whole nine yards. Our relocation guide is absolutely free, so I'm not selling you anything. This is a great resource. We think of everything. We give you a checklist so that you can kind of walk through and begin to build a plan. For those of you that are ready to move, you're in the process of moving, don't miss this. It's the Ramsey Relocation Guide. Text the word relocation. Text the word relocation to 33789. Text the word relocation at 33789. 844-747-2577 is the number. Let's go to Omaha, Nebraska, where Andrew joins us. Andrew, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken, thank you for taking my call. I just got a quick question. How do I fight workplace favoritism?
Well, tell me more. What's that look like?
So I started at my place of employment about a year and a half ago. And ever since I started, I've noticed some roles that they have announced already get filled and start training before they actually do the interviews. So just recently I applied for a supervisor role and two supervisor roles open, and I applied for both of them, and there's already two guys training for it, and they haven't officially announced who got the role. So I was just wondering, how do I go about going forward at my place of employment? I love what I do. I work in retail.
What do you want to do? What do you want to do at that place? Tell me what the ladder looks like. What's the next thing you want? Or if you know a couple levels up in this company that you are at right now, where do you want to end up?
I would like to become a general manager.
Okay. How many steps up the ladder is that from you now?
Probably three.
Okay. And this example you gave me two, one kind of general, this last one specific.
Yeah.
Is that something you would have applied for, or that's one of the rungs, the next rung for you?
Yeah, that's the next rung that I did apply for, but,
I thought you said they didn't even announce it. I thought you're saying they did announce the opening.
Yeah, they announced the opening and 10 of us applied.
Okay.
And before they even announced the official, you'd say winner of the role, they're already training these two guys before they even announce the official, hey, this is going to be the new supervisor.
Okay. Have you had a conversation with the people that are involved?
I have not.
Okay. Because it probably doesn't lend itself to that, right? They posted it, everybody applied, and then they picked two people to do it, and they started training them before they even announced that they got it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that I can call that favoritism. I'm not saying that you're wrong.
Yeah.
But you asked me a question about how do I fight workplace favoritism, and I don't know that there's a clear-cut answer to that anyway, but I'm not sure that I see favoritism here. Is there something I'm missing that says they are favoriting other people, or do you just feel like they're rejecting you and you've been rebuffed a few times?
No, they always go out after work to, restaurants, eat dinner together. They get lunch together at work.
Who's they?
The hiring manager and the two guys that got the role.
Is that favoritism? I don't know. I don't know if it is or not. Is it relational to where, I see your point. But you can't go around. First of all, you can't go around saying that because there's really no way to prove that just because they pal around together.
Right.
But I will tell you, as much as that stings, that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
So the real issue is back to you and your journey. Do you feel like in the time you've been there, do you feel like you've been given an opportunity or opportunities have come to you, or do you feel like you've been able to have conversations with your current leader about your desire to move up, like you told me, to general manager?
Yeah.
And how have those conversations gone?
I feel like they've gone great. I always answer manager calls for customer complaints and stuff like that. The leader that I report to knows I want to move up into the company. And
Do you feel?
You know, I always
do
put myself out there.
Do you feel like opportunities will come, or that they've come at the right amount of time? Do you feel like you can see? Are they responding to you where they go, okay, if this, this, and this happens, plus this variable over here, but here's what you can do, and here's what you can control, and then this variable exists over here. Is that kind of detailed conversation happening?
No, they just tell me when the job opens up, apply for it, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, so I would begin to ask more questions about how can I become more valuable? What are some specific things I can do? I think, because here's why. On one level, we need to know if they actually have an idea of some things that you can do, and it shows your hunger without asking for a promotion.
Okay.
If they don't answer that clearly, that would be the signal that it's time for you to move on. But I've said this many times. You need to find an organization that intentionally develops their people and then promotes their people. But organizations that don't intentionally develop people, there's no intentional promotion either. It's just kind of like what they just said. Hey, listen, thanks for telling us that you want to move up the ladder. Thank you very much. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you for telling us. Yeah. Here's the deal. Next time something opens, apply and we'll let you know. That doesn't sound like a great response to me. Does it sound like a great response to you?
Not really.
Then I'd start looking elsewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, man. But listen, don't take this last thing personally. It's not about you.
Yeah.
It very well could be about the fact that they hired the two people they like to go to drinks with. That just happens. It just happens.
Yeah.
And there's no way around it, but that's not about you. And don't take that personal, but keep looking. 844-747-2577. Let's go to Alexis in Miami, Florida. Alexis, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hi, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate
you,
you
bet.
Calling. I appreciate that. It's so crazy. So I'm actually currently at work. I'm on my lunch break. I'm calling because I really don't like my job or the organization that I work for anymore.
Okay.
However, I live by myself. And I have bills to pay. So
yeah.
I've just been searching the internet like crazy. Like, well, what do I do? Because I don't want to wake up every day just crying on the way to work, on the way home from work. Like,
Listen, you're doing the right thing by looking, and I appreciate you calling me. How can I help you specifically? Because you're looking. Do you know what you're looking for?
Oh, yeah. So I'm actually, I'm trying to get, so I got my undergraduate degree in English literature. I'm really passionate about writing. I'm in a completely different type of field right now, and I really want to get into writing. My fear is, you know, a lot of the positions, the entry-level writing positions are $10,000 or $15,000 less than what I make now. And I don't mind modifying my living expenses, you know,
good.
For, you know, things like Uber Eats or, you
good.
Know, things like that. It's
Listen.
Just a matter of,
nope.
you know,
Stop.
I have to afford to live.
Then you got to change your expenses. So here's the deal.
Yeah, okay.
I love this. See, your issue is you think you're taking a step backwards. And I need to convince you you're taking a step forwards. I would take the entry-level writing positions because once you're in, you're in. You're going to get better at writing. You're going to make connections. You get the experience. And then you're going to get connections, connections, connections. So you living by yourself, now having mouths to feed, husband to support, or whatever. The point is, now's the time to do that. So cut your expenses. Get a roommate or two. Sell a car.
Okay.
Change your lifestyle to be able to afford to do the work that you love. Because here's the deal. Those entry-level writing positions, Alexis, that's not where you're going to stay, but it's where you must start. So it's time for you to swallow your pride. Who cares what anybody thinks if all of a sudden you can't afford your apartment, you got to make changes. You must get in. So that means take the entry level. Crush it. Keep moving up. So change your lifestyle to fit your purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. Helping you get unstuck and then get on purpose. This is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm Ken. 844-747-2577 is the phone number. It's a toll-free number. 844-747-2577. Holly's up in Denver, Colorado next. Holly, you're on the Ken Coleman Show. Hello.
Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm living the dream, Holly. What are you doing?
I'll sit in front of here trying to pull my stuff together from the computer and the screen.
All right, all right. Let's see what I could do to help. What's going on?
I've been in my career for 25 years. And
all right.
I would just love a change. It's not in the direction I had my ladder leaned up against the wall.
Yeah. Okay, why do you want to change? What do you need change for? What's driving this?
The career I picked has become so political that you're not just doing your job anymore. You're always looking over your shoulder.
Okay. You mean political, not political conversation in the office. You're talking like knives out, people stabbing in the back, the gossip. It's kind of a survival of the fittest?
No. No, not at all. Because of the 2008 crash, the people that got blamed for it are the ones who now have it set up so much, and it's a political thing. Every report I do is very political.
Oh, okay. So it's just sucking the life out of you. It's ruined the work, but you enjoy the work itself, minus all the politics?
Yeah, exactly.
So what do you want to do?
Very much so.
What do you want to do? So this is different. It's not like you're really confused. So what would you do tomorrow if we fix that, but what do you go do? Because you know what you love, and there's this one part.
I'm in my 50s.
So?
And I have horses. And I bike, I ride, I'm very active.
Well, wait a second.
I love doing.
That's nothing to do with what I asked you. I appreciate all those things. What would you do tomorrow?
Love helping people like you. I've watched, I have a Facebook group, and everybody in there, it's a medical type thing, and everybody in their goes after me for answers.
Okay.
And I find I love helping people.
Interesting.
But like helping like you, finding their career. Oh, no. I spend a good 10 hours a week helping people in my group.
Helping people what? With their health or their careers?
I'm diabetic type 1.
Okay. What's the work you've been doing? Okay, hold on. I got to figure this out. I'm a little confused. So what is the work you've been doing for 25 years or the work you're doing right now, your day job?
Real estate appraisals.
Oh, real estate appraisals. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're 50-something, and you're nervous that you're not going to be able to make the kind of money you make now because you got these horses and bicycles and all these things. Did I understand that correctly?
No. It's not a money thing. I'm married, and my life shifted. So...
Well, then why did you bring up when I said, what would you do tomorrow? You immediately went to, I'm in my 50s and I like horses and bicycles. So there's a reason why that was your answer.
There's my passion. That's my passion. It's my life.
Together. Do you have to work financially?
How much
do you need to make?
I don't know. I have never made that much in what I do. Honestly, I've worked for somebody who's paid me very little.
Okay, how much do you need to make? Okay, let me ask it this way. How much do you make now?
I'd love to make minimum of $40K a year.
All right, so you're making $40K a year as an appraiser.
No, I'm making half of that.
Okay, well then the answer is $20K because if you have to make money now, but you're only making 20. So at the baseline, you need to make 20.
I work three jobs.
Oh, okay.
Right.
I don't have all the information. So you work another job?
I work two part-time, which I kind of, the real estate, and I've done notary work, which is less and less.
Okay.
So I've done three jobs typically to hold my life together.
But you're married and your husband's working?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So here's
But it's a marriage that's late in life.
Okay. So here's the thing. So you need to make $40,000. Mm-hmm. Is what you need to make.
Minimum. Yeah.
Okay, because that's what you've been doing with three jobs. So then we ask ourselves, well, what's one job or two that I can make the 40 and do some of these things that I really, really enjoy? So there's this health diabetic piece, which is really interesting to me because there's a personal passion there because you deal with it yourself. And you love to give people advice and help out and serve. So I wonder who's serving the diabetic community in your area. That'd be one question that I would go dig into. Because maybe if you get an office
job. I never thought of that.
I know. That's why you called me. It's what I do. Okay. The other thing is you love horses. So you can't get out there in the pen. You can't get out there and physically do a ton of taking care of horses. But I wonder who's boarding horses in your area. Where's the equine population, and I don't mean horses, I mean who owns them. What kind of jobs are available there? You know, could you work in an office of a boarding place? I don't know. I think you've got to start to say, wait a second, I've been a notary. I've been doing appraisals here and there, kind of these odd jobs. Wait a second, let me look in areas of interest for me. So I know that...
I've been doing appraisals solid, but I take up the other two side jobs that help.
Okay, but my point is,
at times.
Okay, if you want to keep doing the appraisal, go do it for yourself or for somebody else where there's not all the politics. But the point is that all you got to do is start looking in areas where you're interested. And again, I gave you two ideas right now, but you need to go talk to people.
I love it.
Yeah. Where are jobs working with horses? And I don't mean in the pen with them, but I mean people that are supporting them. I don't know. You got to look. You know where to look. And the same thing with the diabetic community or whatever. So if you got to drop down to one job plus one of these other ones, that's great. But I, you know, the good news is you know what you want to do, and I think you know where to look. So now I want to simplify this because this seems so intimidating, folks. You're like, I'm in my 50s. No one's going to want to hire me. Not true. This is why I wrote the proximity principle. Amanda, let's give her a copy of the proximity principle, please. It's my best-selling book, Holly, and I want you to read it. And it says, in order to do what Holly wants to do, and you can fill in the blank there, she's got to be around people that are doing it and in places where that work is happening. There's five people in five places I introduce you to in the book, and all of those are right in your zip code. Find them, get around them, and you watch opportunities come your way. But when we just kind of sit and think and sit, our brain, absent of real ideas, real information, is a vacuum. And then our fears and our doubts fill the vacuum. But when I actually go and I look, who's serving the diabetic community? Who's serving horses? How many different types of businesses are associated with some type of horse industry or whatever? Or, you know, who's serving people over here? Is there a nonprofit foundation or whatever that serves families and children with diabetes or whatever, or the seniors diabetes. Hey, we just got to start looking. And when we look, we begin to see things we didn't see before. We begin to learn things we didn't know. We begin to meet people we didn't know. And the whole theory around the proximity principle is that it's the right people plus the right places that bring us opportunity. So there's no magic here except for intentionality to stop sitting and thinking and sitting and get up and move and get around people that are doing something similar or exactly what you want to do. Because in meeting those people, they give me knowledge I didn't have. They might give me some experience. Who knows? But they're certainly going to introduce me to more people that I need to know and point me to places that I need to be in. And by continuously putting myself around the right people and in the right places, opportunities present themselves. They knock on your door. So if you're sitting there going, I can't find an opportunity, it's because you're not doing what you need to do by getting around the right people and in the right places. You got this. Hey, my time's almost up, but before I let you go, remember this. You matter, and you do have what it takes. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, this is the Ken Coleman Show. Press on.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.
Hey folks, I want you to check out our other Ramsey Network podcasts like The Dr. John Deloney Show.
Hey, good folks, this is John, host of the Dr. John Deloney Show. On this show, I talk to real people just like you who are wrestling through relationship issues, mental health challenges, annoying people. We're talking about anything and everything. I am here to walk with you, and it starts now.
Subscribe to the Dr. John Deloney Show wherever you listen to podcasts.